And it is Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Calgary tonight. Floyd Reese, how are you, Mr. General Manager?
The sun is out. Are you kidding me? I'm outstanding.
The sun is out. The Preds are in the playoffs. This is a big game against a big boy in Calgary, who I think, as I was listening to the midday show on my drive-in, best team on the road in the league. So, as I told you before we sat down, the Predators are going to have to play a whole heck of a lot better than they've been playing for these next couple of games. And even if they do play better, they still may not win, because now you're playing some big boys. So this will be a good – this two-game stretch, Calgary and Colorado, will be a nice little two-game stretch to get figured out to see, okay, can this team compete with the big daddies, not just hold a playoff spot, but can they compete with the Bowpers? And here you go, two at home. So that's exciting. I want to start on this, though. We got tons of stuff to get to today. We got Crispy coming on today. We've got – I got to throw my little rant about my cable provider losing Fox Sports Tennessee. I cannot believe it. I'm going to have to get a new cable provider, which I'm all up in arms. Literally the single most inconvenient aspect of my life right now. We got the CBA. We literally have the actual proposal in front of us of the CBA. And then – I want to start with this. And we've got the franchise tag window opening up today for Henry or Tannehill or Conklin or Ryan. But I want to start with this. Jeff Darlington today on ESPN on Get Up this morning. Now, we've talked – we had Jeff Darlington on the show last week.
Yeah.
You know, I know Jeff Darlington. You know Jeff Darlington. I mean, he is a well-respected ESPN reporter. And ESPN, if nothing else, has positioned us to give us the belief that he's close – to the Brady camp, right? I'm not saying that that means he is close to the Brady camp, but they're making him kind of the Brady expert. You know, Schefter had him on his podcast and said, you're connected in the Northeast to the Brady camp, and the people in the Northeast think Darlington is right there in the Brady camp. And he was on Get Up this morning, and Floyd, I agree with you. I think Brady stays in New England, but Darlington last week was the, I'm hearing he's going to look around to Darlington was pretty strong today. This is what Jeff Darlington said. Brady is telling people close to him on Get Up this morning.
No matter how many times we say that Tom Brady is likely to not play for the Patriots next year, I either get blasted or told that I am wrong. That makes sense because we cannot wrap our heads around it. There are people very close to Tom Brady who are being told by Tom Brady, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm going somewhere else. Like, that's the way that we're operating here within those circles. And yet even those people don't necessarily believe that Tom, at the end of the day, won't go into Bill Belichick's office and Belichick won't sit there and say to him, Tom, we need you back. We have to have you back. And that Tom Brady will return to the Patriots. We need to wrap our minds around the fact that it is far more likely than not that Tom Brady will not be back with the Patriots. I am now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady returns to the Patriots.
Darlington says he'd be stunned if Brady goes back to the Patriots. Karen Gurgian, and I have no idea who this is, but people say that she actually is pretty connected. She's the Patriots beat columnist for the Boston Herald, said 6 hours ago on Twitter, the Patriots have still not reached out to Tom Brady. According to a source, quote, it's not looking good. So you hear that from the media types, who people say are close to the Brady camp. And you heard Darlington say that people in Brady's camp are being told by Brady that he's going to free agency, and even they aren't convinced. The people that Brady is telling this to, they aren't convinced that he's not going to go in Bill's office and they're not going to work it out and he's not going to be quarterback of the New England Patriots. So what do we make of this, of the posturing that it looks like is going on within the Brady camp, some way, somehow?
I mean, I don't, my attitude hasn't changed, you know? I mean, I don't, you know, right now this is all talk. You know, it's just talk. And the hard part is Jeff is probably, you know, Jeff, I was talking earlier with Darren, and Darren says, you know, he's kind of a connector. And I thought, yeah. I said, but who's he connected to? And here's what happens in the business. You're an sub-agent for some agent in Boston, and you want this newspaper guy or whatever he is to think you really, really know something? So you flip something like this out. You're a down. You're the assistant to the quality controls coach. So what do you want to do? You want to get your name out there. You want some way, somehow, jobs open. I want my name out. So you flip something out there. It doesn't have to be true. They don't care. You know, I mean, it's and I think there's so much of that kind of stuff that goes on in the business that it's hard for me until I hear from Tom. It's hard for me to rely on it, you know, because I know how closed mouth Tom is. I know, and you know how closed mouth that whole organization is. And for every year at this time, for the last four or five, however many years, there's been this kind of talk. You know, either they're blowing up, or Belichick's retiring, or Tom and Bill hate each other, and Tom's leaving, or, you know, I mean, I don't know what it just year after year after year. And yet it just, for whatever reason, just kind of keeps on trucking.
So I am actually in total agreement with you. I think, Darley, I think Brady is using his people to essentially use Darlington to then get the best deal from the Patriots. I mean, the only thing where anyone's put their name to it, legitimately put their name to it, is right after the season, Robert Kraft said, and it wasn't a source close to Kraft, it was Robert Kraft said, I want to see him either in New England or see him retire, a.k.a. I don't want to see him play somewhere else. And so Kraft, honestly, as much as Belichick is the greatest coach of all time and Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, in this equation, doesn't Kraft's opinion matter the most?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the owner. He's the guy that writes the checks.
Absolutely.
So if Kraft has basically put his foot down and said, I want Tom to go explore free agency. Go after it, Tom. But I want you to be a Patriot. I feel like Robert Kraft will do whatever it takes to keep Tom Brady as a New England Patriot, because Kraft has said he wants to see Brady be a Patriot. And I think it's hard for John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, even if they had interest in Brady, and I don't know if they do or don't have interest in Brady. We ran the poll yesterday. 50% of the fans think they do. 50% of the fans think they don't. But even if Robinson or Vrabel had interest in Brady, it's hard for me to envision them not thinking like you, which is Tom's going to go back to New England. If Tom were to come here, Tom would want to bring all these things that we necessarily can't provide him, and that wouldn't work out. And in the end, even if Tom woke up today and thought, I'd like to be a Tennessee Titan, when it came time to sign the paperwork, all those things would have been laid out to him, and he would have gotten cold feet like McDaniels did with the Colts job, and he'd go back to New England. And the Titans can't risk that because of the Tannehill situation. So I think it's really hard for me to think that John or Mike would think that Brady's an option, no matter what is being said or whatever is being sent out there, because the only person that has literally put their name on it and said, this is what I think, is Robert Kraft.
They, in a world where money is the sole reason for moving in free agent, the absolute number one reason, going away, here's a guy that's got more of it than the vast majority. I mean, money is not an issue in his life. Money is. So when you talk about, like, you and I would talk about $1 million and we would kill for $1 million. Well, I mean, for Tom, $1 million is nice. You know, don't be wrong. But you know what? If I have to move to California.
Who are you fooling? You California? And I would kill for $1 million? Who are you? Floyd, who are you fooling?
What?
I asked you yesterday if you would be a GM for ESPN for $1 million and watch the film like a GM would. And you're like, I don't know about all that work. That's a lot of work right there.
It is
about
a lot
killing
of work.
For $1 million, Floyd. Come on now.
Well, the point being that $1 million is a ton of money.
Right.
And that in Tom's world, $1 million is like, you know, it's money, and it's good money, and it's certainly not something that's going to make or break a decision for him. So how much more does he have to get than whatever it is they're offering to get him to move? You know, if they're offering 30, do you have to offer 40 or 45 to get him to move? I mean, 31's not going to do it. 33's not going to do it. I mean, so what is that dollar amount? And that's the part, I mean, I keep thinking clubs are not going to, in my opinion, are probably not going to offer a 43-year-old quarterback, even if he is the best of all time. When Johnny Unitas moved, he was the best of all time. When Joe Namath moved, he was the best of all time. When all these great quarterbacks move, they're the best of all time. Well, here we are with another one. And are you going to pay, you know, who's the club that's willing to say, okay, we'll pay you $40 million if that'll get you to move?
So do you think there is a financial impact, to, like, for the Titans' sake? Do you think it's not Brady wanting to win another Super Bowl or Brady wanting to play for Vrabel or something like that? Do you think it's all money? If Tom leaves New England, it's all about getting paid? Because if it's all about getting paid, then that, I think, opens it up to even bigger suitors. Like, I don't take the Raiders seriously as a fit for Brady because the Raiders suck. But if Brady only cares about money, then the Raiders, I think, then enter the picture. But I have a hard time thinking that the Raiders or the Chargers are a legitimate fit for him, unless it is only about money with Brady.
Well, if
it is only about money, then the Titans certainly
are. If you're going to go, if you had to pick a spot to go and be the quarterback to win a world championship, where would it be? You're going to go to San Diego?
No.
Or Vegas? No. Where are you going? You're going to New England.
Well, no, you'd probably come here.
Oh. You're going to New England. Why? Because they know how to do it. They've done it. They understand it. Now, you say, well, I'll go to Kansas City. Unfortunately, Kansas City has got a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're out. So then the rest of it is, I mean, you know, if you're going to take a shot, if that's the motivator, you'll go right back where you came from. So I don't know. You know, I mean, this is free agency. Anything can happen in free agency. We all know that. We see it year after year after year.
So let's take your phones, your thoughts. Jeff Darlington saying he would be stunned if Brady returns to New England. Now, I think it's fair to say you would be stunned if Brady didn't play for New England this year.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised.
Okay, so there you go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025, your calls and your texts. And this is kind of the question I have. Is how much of this do we think John Robinson and Mike Vrabel believe? Because their opinions count the most. 615-737-1025. Plus, Darlington had to say even more about Brady, including, is Brady's ultimate goal to win the Super Bowl? We'll discuss that next. Jared and the GM Live from Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. Crispy going to join us today at 4:30. By the way, congratulations is due to Crispy when he joins us.
What do you do?
Crispy is going to be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame this summer.
With Jeff.
With Jeff Fisher and
Fantastic.
Many others.
Fantastic.
So Crispy was notified today that he's been inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. So Crispy will join us today. And our warm congratulations
that
go out to
fantastic.
Our man Terry Crisp when he comes out here today at 4:30. So we get excited about that. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
There are a lot of teams, guys, that are interested in Tom Brady. And Tom Brady has an interest in a bunch of teams.
Sure.
It's not like Tom's saying right now, like, you know, we keep bringing up the Titans. And
sure.
He's not looking at this and saying, if I don't go to the Titans, I'll go back to the Patriots.
Right.
He's looking at the landscape the same way, honestly, on this desk.
That was Jeff Darlington on Get Up this morning on ESPN. I cannot believe, and I'm not questioning Darlington. I like him a lot. He's a good guy. He's well-respected. I just can't believe that Tom Brady doesn't have it in his head of, I want to go here or here, or if not, I'm going back to New England. It can't be that Brady wants to get out and experience free agency and see what free agency is all about.
I mean, again, this is just me, but the last thing in the world Tom Brady wants is to go to 10 or 12 teams to have guys, you know, tell him how good he is. I mean, what is that? What do you tell me? You know, give me, I mean, it's, I mean, there are teams that he would, you know, is he going to go to Cincinnati? No. Is he going to go to Cleveland? No. Is he going to go? There are places that he will go and places that he won't go, if in fact he's going at all.
I think what Brady's got to understand, though, is if Brady wanted to play here, there's no way for the timing to work out, for the Titans to be able to know that Brady would be coming here without risking losing Tannehill, and that's just a risk the Titans can't take. Like, if you were at the Combine and Don Yee, and I just saw on NFL Network, it said at the bottom of the screen, Brady's agent meeting with teams at the Combine. Well, that is – I love – the league-owned network is basically promoting that the biggest star is being tampered with, right? Like, Tom Brady's agent meeting with – now, I don't know who else Don Yee has. Maybe he's got a linebacker in this year's class, so he can meet with everybody. But let's be real. When they put that up there, Tom Brady's agent meeting with other teams, they are basically endorsing tampering right there, which is fine. Even if Don Yee – let's put you in John Robinson's shoes – even if Don Yee looks you square in the face tonight at Shula's Steakhouse in Indianapolis and says, Tom wants to be a Titan. Tom is willing to do whatever it takes to be a Titan. Can you really believe all of that? Can you really take that to your heart that when push comes to shove, Tom Brady is going to be willing to sign on the dotted line his name and not at the last minute be convinced by Belichick or convinced by a meeting with Arthur Smith that – you know, this isn't going to work out with me and him, so I just go back to New England. And then all of a sudden, now you have no quarterback, and you got to try to trade for Andy Dalton or sign Jameis Winston.
I mean, I have a great relationship with Don Yee, and I have a great relationship with Tom. If anybody short of Tom told me that this was going to happen, I would have to – I got to see it to believe it. And Don Yee has never lied to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've done more than – but Tom is not the only client that Don has. I mean, Don has other clients.
He's got Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think he's a really small agent, so I don't know.
Well, he's a professor at SC, mm-hmm. a law professor at SC, so he's got, you know, other things than just being an agent. But if Don – you know, if Don told me – I mean, the risk you're running is it's your job. You're risking your job
mm-hmm.
on, you know, on not the guy that's going to make the decision, but the guy that is helping the guy that's going to make the decision. A little bit scary.
I mean, I'll use an example of where I'm a little. The only way I could see the Titans going headfirst into the Brady sweepstakes is twofold. One, if they don't like Tannehill. If deep down inside, they like Tannehill, the guy, and they thought he did a great job, but they really just don't think he's very good,
yeah.
and that they masked him, and they're like, you know what, even if we end up with Andy Dalton at quarterback, screw it. You know, it's the same as Tannehill. If they think that, I could see it, and then, you know, they're shooting for the stars with Brady, and if they don't, then they'll have to sell all of us on Andy Dalton, and we won't like it at first, but they'll have to win some games, and then we will like it. Or it comes down from the owner. And I don't see this owner being the kind of owner that would dictate, hey, I want Brady.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I can't see her doing that. I can see owners of other teams going to the GM because you're talking about this being your job. Well, now, if you're the GM and the owner comes down and says, I want Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. He's friends with Mike. I want him to be our quarterback. You would probably then look at the owner and tell the owner, okay, but if we go after him and we don't get him and we're probably not going to get him, we're not going to have Ryan Tannehill and we're going to end up with Andy Dalton and a lot of people are going to sell their tickets back and a lot of people are not going to show up to the games unless we win with Andy Dalton. And the owner would almost have to say, I'm okay with that. I want Brady that badly. And then you go head first into the Brady sweepstakes. But that's the only way I could see that happening, and I just can't see this owner being like, John, you have to go after Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, she won't.
And she would never do that.
She's not going to do that.
If she did, though, oh, my God, she'd be like Jerry Jones. Let's go to your phones, 615-737-1025. Brad has been waiting patiently, going to kick us off today on Brady and the Titans. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, guys. I think I agree with Floyd. I think they're going to attack Tannehill and sign Henry. But Floyd did kind of answer his own question. There's only one or two quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame that I can think of that retire with the same team. Maybe Marino, because he's beat up, and Eli pretty much got run out of New York. But everybody else went somewhere else. Montana, Favre, Unitas, you know, they all went somewhere else late in their career. And I think that there's something inside those guys, just like Brady, that wants to prove it somewhere else. So I think it's a fascinating conversation. I would definitely go and see the Titans with either Tannehill or Brady. Brady would sell some tickets. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call, Brad. The difference, though, with all of those is that those guys' teams didn't want them back. Well, I can't speak to the Montana situation, but I'm guessing they wanted to go to Young.
They traded him.
Yeah. So they wanted to turn to Young. The Packers wanted to turn to Rodgers. Robert Kraft has said he doesn't want to see Tom Brady play for another team.
Who are they going to turn to, Stidham? Give me a break.
I stand by the fact that I think Belichick likes Ryan Tannehill. That if you signed Brady, they'd sign Tannehill. Because I think Tannehill would go to them for less money. Because Tannehill would feel so slighted if you went with Brady over Tannehill. He'd be like, what do I have to – I beat Brady. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I could see Tannehill being very upset and going to New England. But the truth is, to your point, you know, if they turn it over to Jarrett Stidham,
that's not going to happen. You know,
I'll go back to the training camp because I've read a lot of New England media that have reported, you know, Belichick loves Stidham and they see a lot in Stidham and they like Stidham and they think he could be the fit and all this. I go back to those training camp practices where I saw four quarterbacks. Brady looked good. Tannehill looked okay. Marcus and Stidham looked terrible. And Brian Hoyer looked like Brian Hoyer. And I thought Stidham was awful in those 2 days of practice. I'm like, there's no way this guy's going to back up Tom Brady this year. And they kept him, and he backed up Brady. So maybe, but I'm with you in as far as Stidham.
Well, they have every backup that's been there, they love. You know, they loved Castle. They loved Jimmy G. They loved Brissett. They loved, you know what? They bring him in. They groom him for a couple years. They ship him out and bring another one in. You know, they send him out. They get a second-round draft choice. They go to the draft. I mean, they've got a cottage business going there. So I don't imagine that they're more in love with Stidham than they were with, you know, a couple of these other guys, whoever it may be.
Jacob is up next here on Tom Brady and the Titans. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thank you for having me on. And the way I look at it, I don't really see Tom Brady leaving unless you kind of look at it like Bill Belichick is kind of a force, and they always butt heads. And maybe he wants to go be somewhere where he is the man, where he runs the show. And Tennessee, where his buddy Mike Vrabel is, would be the perfect place for that. And same reason being why I wouldn't see him going to Oakland is because of John Gruden there as a force as well.
Thank you for your call. I don't think Gruden's the kind of force that would bump heads with Brady. Just set for us. So this is something I have a problem with as well. Right. Now, you haven't been in New England in, what, 6, 7 years or something like that?
No, however long it's been, yeah.
But you're close with Belichick, and, I mean, I'm pretty sure you get updates from time to time as to what's going on over there. I'll give people an example. The media was not allowed to stand at certain places when the Titans and Patriots had joint practice, and Floyd was on the Patriots sideline. Like, Floyd and Les Steckel were standing on the opposite side of the field out of everybody's way, but then when the opposite side of the field came to the – when that came down to them, they stayed there, and not one person said, Mr. Reese, you're with the media. You need to move back.
Respect for the aged.
Oh, they made sure of that now. Not one person – I watched the whole time at those joint practices. Not one person went by. So all this talk of Brady and Belichick butting heads, you've been around them. I'm sure there are disagreements between Brady and Belichick. But how much do you actually believe that those two guys don't get along?
Not at all. I mean, I never, of course, I was there for 4 years. And 4 years, I never heard one cross word. They both understand what that relationship is. And they both understand that, you know, one is not going to be as good without the other, whichever way you want to go, whichever way you want to argue. I mean, all the teamwork stuff that you see happening here, I mean, it's a lifestyle there. Everybody's that way. And they know that, okay, if we get together and if we put together this great game plan and you go out there and execute it, then we're going to win games. And, I mean, and they are together constantly during the season. Constantly. I'm talking about every single day for hours at a time. And so, you know, have they ever had a crossword? I'm sure at points in time. I don't. They've been together for 20 years. I mean, nobody can be with another person 20 years and not have issues. But unless something, you know, in the last few years, unless something's blown up, whatever it may be.
So the media reports would be that it's the Garoppolo thing that is the blow up. And the Garoppolo thing being that Belichick brought in Garoppolo to replace Brady. So then Brady got mad at Belichick, and then Brady went to Kraft and told that he wanted Garoppolo out of there. And then Kraft put his foot down and told Belichick to trade Garoppolo, and that's why Belichick traded him only for a second to San Francisco. And that Bill, to spite Tom, sent him to the team that Tom wanted to go to the most, Tom's favorite team, San Francisco, and that's why Bill did it, and that's where all the angst comes from. Now, that sounds to me more like a made-for-TV movie than it, like a straight-to-DVD kind of movie, more than it does actual what goes on in the day-to-day realm of football. But that is what people argue was the wedge that drove, that got in between Brady and Belichick.
Okay.
And you have never believed that for a second.
Okay. But none of the others, Castle, he really liked Castle.
Well, they didn't draft Castle in the second round.
He really liked Stidham. He really liked all those guys. I mean, they were all okay.
But they didn't draft them in the second round, and there was talk about contract. I'm just saying what they're saying. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying what they're saying. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your calls and your texts. Mike Vrabel, as much has been made about Vrabel's relationship with Brady, something Vrabel said the other day makes me wonder if Tannehill is not the perfect quarterback for Vrabel. We'll discuss that next. Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. More streaming on the Game Nashville app.
At this point, I'd be stunned if he returns to New England, to be very blunt about it. And I understand that people don't necessarily want to accept it. Even those close to Brady still sit there and say, yeah, but you'll walk into Bill Belichick's office, he'll lay out this master plan, and all will be well again. I got to tell you, I get no sense that Brady is thinking that way. Instead, very much so, looking toward free agency. It is not as if Tom Brady is flirting with the possibility of free agency so he can ultimately come back with the Patriots. He is absolutely looking forward to free agency.
If you put Jeff Darlington on the stand and you asked him, do you think Tom Brady is hell-bent on free agency and leaving New England? I'm convinced he'd say yes. If you hooked him up to a lie detector, I'm convinced it would come back as positive, as he's telling the truth. I mean, Darlington is convinced with whomever he's talking to in the Brady camp, whoever that is, that person is convinced something is going on with Brady.
Who's what? How do you define Brady camp? Wife?
I don't know.
Kids?
Some, I mean, you know, the
agent,
the Guerrero, the agent, all the, you know, I don't know who his people in that camp are, but I think it's been ESPN, if nothing else, ESPN is trying to convince us that Jeff Darlington is super connected into Tom Brady's camp. And I've not heard one person dispute that. Now, I know you don't trust the media, and I understand why you don't trust the media, but at the same time, everybody is trying to convince us that he is well entrenched in that Brady camp. Now, I don't know who that is, and neither do you, but instead of poo-pooing it, I just go along with it. Doesn't mean that it's true. Doesn't mean that Brady's people aren't trying to get Darlington to say this stuff so that it creates leverage. I'm just saying. But, I mean, we just saw up on the TV on NFL Network. What was the topic on the bottom of the screen at NFL Network?
Should they franchise Derek and sign or pursue Brady?
I mean, that is the topic on the league-owned network. And everybody keeps talking about this, the Titans and Brady, and the angle of whether or not Tennessee will be the team that pursues Tom Brady. And the one problem I have with this is if Darlington's right and Brady wants to experience free agency and Brady isn't sure exactly where he's going, then the Titans have to be out because the Titans will lose Ryan Tannehill if that happens.
What is the allure of free agency?
For a guy like Brady?
Why would Tom want to experience free agency?
The only thing I could think of, and I go back to that, what Peter King said a couple of weeks ago when he was just throwing it out there. which was the idea that maybe Brady has sold his free agency tour to a behind-the-scenes documentary like the Tom vs. Time documentary.
And that no, Brady I'm talking about from a football that. Standpoint.
Okay. Well, I mean, that does matter. If Brady's going to coin $30 million from taking you behind the scenes and then go sign $30 million at the same time, like, I think that is at least worth, you know, that is a possibility. To answer your question about what would going into free agency mean for Tom Brady?
Why, no, why would he want to pursue free agency?
If he has a huge ego and he wants it stroked. But I don't think he does.
I'm going to guess, once again, I don't know this, but I'm going to guess he would have absolutely no problem finding literally anyone to stroke his ego. I don't care who it is. I mean, if he wanted to go into a restaurant, the owner, the waiter, the manager, they would all come, oh, Tom, you're the greatest. Every place he goes, he gets that.
Texter to the text line says, do you not think that Brady was thinking about Tennessee, that if he was, that he hasn't talked with Mike Vrabel about that? I mean, that is tampering if Vrabel talks to Brady about coming to the Titans. Doesn't mean that tampering doesn't happen. I just think that Vrabel knows the risk he runs. Even if Brady tells him, I'm going to Tennessee, all Vrabel can do is go back to John Robinson and say, Tom told me that he's going to Tennessee, which, number one, is a humongous violation of league rules. Probably is upwards of $1 million fine if that were to get out. Probably more, to be honest with you, and draft picks if that comes out. Secondly, even if it's true, that doesn't mean that the Titans necessarily have exactly what Brady wants. And then the third part of this is the Max Kellerman equation to this, which is Brady actually better than Ryan Tannehill for the Tennessee Titans? Which is not something that I have definitively heard anybody say, yes, Tom on the Titans is better than Ryan Tannehill, and it explained why, other than, I mean, they got Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, and A.J. Brown. And I'm like, if you're using Corey Davis as a selling point to me, then you do not understand the Titans and you do not watch the Titans. Because, I mean, Anthony Firkser is a better selling point, as far as I'm concerned, with Tom Brady than Corey Davis is. So I haven't heard anybody say why Brady would be a better fit than Tannehill if it was simply as much of the Titans just picking between the two. So there's so many layers to it. But it's hard for me to envision that Brady and Vrabel have had that talk and that Vrabel's taken it back and that they then decide, based upon a conversation that is against league rules, that they would then be pursuing Tom Brady.
That would be illegal. And, you know, Mike would never do anything illegal.
Okay, now that we're past that, what do you think would happen if it wasn't Mike Vrabel, but it was somebody else that Brady had a relationship with and that person was a head coach of a team in the Titans? What do you think? Like, if Brady did tell Vrabel, I want to come, would that change your opinion as general manager of the team?
That would be illegal.
Okay, but get past that part.
Well, I mean, when free agency came, if he said that, you would go to the GM and tell him. Now, what is, you know?
I'm saying if Brady calls Vrabel and Brady tells Vrabel, I want to come to Tennessee. Or Giselle calls Jen Vrabel and tells Jen, we want to come to Tennessee. The first thing Mike's going to do is call John and tell John what happened.
Right.
You're John. You get to call. Tom's told me. Because you've said the only thing you'd believe is if Tom said it. So Mike calls you, you're the GM, and says Tom says he wants to come. Does that change your outlook on this?
I would have to hear from Tom.
You think Mike Vrabel's going to lie to you?
No, I don't. Not at all.
Okay, so let's say that Vrabel has heard it from Tom that he wants
that
to be
here.
That
would be illegal.
Oh, my God,
Where are you hung up on this illegality?
Floyd, just go with it. You know that tampering happens. It's happening rampantly right now at the Combine. If that is the case, what then does that change your outlook? That you know that Brady wants to come here?
No. I mean, Tom doesn't know he wants to come here. Nobody. Tom doesn't know where he wants to go. Tom doesn't know. Tom has been in one place for 20 years. He doesn't know anything about any of these other clubs. He doesn't know how they operate. He doesn't know how they pay. He doesn't know what he doesn't know anything, and really doesn't care, or didn't care. He may care now, but didn't care. You know, so I mean, that's not a. I don't think that's any kind of an allure. We're making it sound like free agency is going to be this, you know, be all to end all. Free agency is a giant pain in the butt for everybody, unless you're getting the check. And my point to begin with was twofold. One is Tom. You think Tom is doing this for a check? And two, how much bigger does that check have to be than what he can already get at New England before he leaves? I mean, and I don't know the answer to either one of those.
Texter to the text line sends in a very long text, but I do like the text. And it says, let's say that New England pays Brady what he wants. How much does that leave New England to play within their cap to go get weapons for Brady, knowing that he's not going to take a hometown discount?
Tom Brady has taken a hometown discount every contract he's ever signed. I mean, I don't know why it would change this time, unless they wanted to play for $10 million or something. You know, then yeah, he will go out there. He will look. But I mean, they wouldn't insult him that way. And Robert wouldn't say, hey, we're going to get him back, or we want him back, if he wasn't going to offer him fair market value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should Tom be the highest paid guy in the league? Absolutely. You know, will he be? No. I mean, but he never has been. You know, he's been middle of the pack since he's been at New England. So, I mean, I don't see that as the big. I mean, other than pure talk, I'm trying to figure out in my mind what would be the thing that would be so tantalizing for him that he would want to leave. And I don't see it.
And we don't think he gives a rat's tail about.
Well done.
We don't think he gives a rat's tail about about talk. Right? Like, he's Tom Brady. He didn't care about talk. Tom Brady does not have to fill 4 hours on the Jared and the GM show every day. I mean, if it were up just what I know of Tom Brady, you know Brady. What I know of Tom Brady does not, it would probably, he doesn't care that he's the talk for the Jared and the GM show, but he probably would prefer it not be that way. So other than that talk angle of this, what is the point behind Tom Brady with all of this that's coming out about Brady?
Well, again, I mean, what? Tom is like Bill. They have literally spent their entire adult life at New England dodging all the things we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Dodging them. Staying away. Hiding. You know? And yet we think in year 20 of his career, he's going to all of a sudden crave those things and just run out and you know, be looking everywhere for it. And is that possible? Sure. Anything's possible. That's possible. I just don't understand it. I just don't see it.
I do love the fact that neither you nor I think that Tom Brady is going to leave the Patriots. Neither you nor I think that Tom Brady is coming to the Tennessee Titans. And yet it has dominated the Jared and the GM show for the last 3 weeks.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's
everywhere. And we would be stupid to not be talking about
it. Yeah, it's not just us. I mean, it's everywhere.
615-737-1025. More of your calls, more of your texts on Brady. 615-737-1025. I have a quick Preds thought that I want to get out there. We'll do that coming up next. And it's not about tonight's game, but it is about Saturday's game and every game after that. I'll explain. Jared and the GM, live from Bridgestone Arena. We'll get back to your calls and texts as well. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Preds play Calgary tonight. Jared and the GM live out at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Crispy going to join us later today. We have got to celebrate Crispy, who is named to the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
That's fantastic.
And I'm about to lose Crispy. Tonight is the last game. I have YouTube TV, right? And tonight is the last Preds game I will get on YouTube TV. And after that, they will lose Fox Sports Tennessee, Fox Sports South, which has the Braves and the Grizzlies and all that. They will lose them. And then apparently across the country, Sinclair, which owns all these Fox Sports regional networks, which pays these humongous rights fees to these teams and has all these games and everything else, is going to lose YouTube TV, as they've already lost Sling TV, which and Dish Network. So now you either have to have real cable or you have to have Hulu Live. So I'm going to switch to Hulu Live after tonight's game, or I guess I'm going to switch probably Saturday. I hate it. I'm completely inconvenienced by it. And yet, I wonder how far the leagues and the teams are going to go with this before they have to figure out, you know what, we better get ourselves back on TV. I know that the teams are getting a lot of money for these rights, and I know that a lot of cable providers, it's easy for the cable provider to pick it up if they can sell it in a bundle, but they're asking for so much money for these networks now that the cable providers are thinking, you know what? There's just too many people that watch this that don't want to have to pay that, don't care enough about sports, that we're just not going to put it on TV. And so we'll say screw it, and we'll lose the Jared Stillmans who will drop us over this, but we'll keep everybody else who doesn't want to have to pay more. And I wonder if this is kind of a bad trend for sports, you know, and where sports are headed.
I have no clue. I don't know anything about that stuff. You know what? We got one thing. I know the box works. I press the button. It goes on. That's about all I know about it.
So,
that's all I care about.
So what's crazy about the regional sports network, well, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not going to pay I'm not going to pay high-end money for cable. Like, if Hulu Live loses Fox Sports Tennessee, then I will have to listen to the radio for the games because I'm not going to get AT&T U-verse. Well, AT&T U-verse doesn't actually come to my house anymore, and I'm not going to get Comcast. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm not going to pay $9 extra per month per box in order to get – I'm not doing it. And cord cutting is a real thing. If you look at the rate, if you look at the amount of people that have cut the cord in the last, like, 10 years, it is astronomical the amount of losses these cable networks have. And what happens is they get paid by the prescriber, by the subscriber. So I think ESPN is the highest grossing network per subscriber in American cable. So say that you pay, let's just use $100 for cable a month. You're paying like $6 to ESPN every single month. Well, the regional sports networks have the highest fees because they have to pay the rights for the games for all these leagues and networks and things like that. So Fox Sports Tennessee, like my grandmother who lives in Florida, has Fox Sports Florida. How much do you think my grandmother watches the Florida Marlins or the Miami Heat?
Probably not a lot.
You think she watches Florida Panther games?
I'm just guessing.
You think she watches Florida Panther games? But she's paying like $12 a month to the regional sports network to be able to watch the Florida Panthers, and she doesn't care. And so what's happened are a lot of people are like, I don't want to pay this. So what they're doing is now the cable providers can't come to an agreement with Sinclair, who's got it. They can't come to an agreement. And so a lot of people are going to lose it. And a lot of people, like me, are going to have to switch. But this is the last switching I'm doing. And then after that, and I do wonder, as more people cut the cord, and this is why football almost demands exclusively that they're on broadcast television, free TV, I do wonder how much these teams and leagues worry of, hey, if we're getting all this money and then the regional sports network has to get this and then the regional sports network can't get on TVs in the future, what are we going to do? We're going to have to lower our price, right?
I don't know.
And then that's going to lower the caps of these leagues, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if they're not getting TV money, whoever it is, they'll have to lower something, that's for sure, because they're not going to be making the same amount of money.
It's crazy. And I know that it doesn't affect, no offense, old people, because old people will always use cable, will be, you know, I like going, I punch it on and I do this. But young people like me, I mean, we have no interest in cable boxes. We have no interest in 12-month contracts. We have no and I am not getting cable. Like, I will continue to use streaming companies. And
so you don't like cable, so you get away from cable to get into these streaming companies, and we just spent a segment with you griping about the streaming.
I don't blame the streaming company.
Who are you blaming? You're blaming somebody.
I think
you're mad at somebody.
I think it's what's happened is the regional sports networks have paid so much money to the teams that the regional sports networks have to pay, have to get X amount of dollars for every subscriber, and that now these companies, these cable providers, or these streaming services, which is they're all cable providers, the cable providers are saying, you know what, we think more people don't care about sports than you do, so we're just going to do without you, and we're going to lose people who want to watch sports, but we'll keep the people that don't care. And they think there are more people that don't care, as opposed to raising the cable prices in order to afford these networks, and then the people would gripe about having higher cable bills. Think about this. If you lost the Predators, the Braves, and the Grizzlies off Comcast, would you, or whatever you have, would you switch?
Switch, change the whoever we're with.
Yep.
No.
And so you just wouldn't watch the games, and you're a sports guy.
Well, it'd be on another channel. It'd be on one of them someplace.
No.
I don't know.
The only channel in Nashville that you can get the Predators on is Fox Sports Tennessee, and if you lost that, you couldn't watch it. So would you then switch to DirecTV?
No, I wouldn't change whatever I am.
Right. You'd have to listen to the radio or what a lot of people would probably do and just not watch. And then just wait for the playoffs when it'll be on and just fine, knock yourself out.
If it's a sport and it's not on there, it's not – I don't even know how many channels we have. We got thousands of channels. If there's not a channel that it's on and it's a sport, then I don't need to see it. Because if it can't find one of those that it can do business with, then fine, I'll watch something else. I mean, I'm not into that. I know the NFL's going to be on there every Sunday and Thursday and Monday. And that's I'm good with that. You know, now if the NBA or somebody wants to say no, we're not gonna be on that anymore. Okay.
And I think that is a huge risk the other less popular sports run.
Absolutely.
Which is, like, let's use the Braves, for example, here in Nashville, Tennessee. How many people would switch their cable providers because you lose the Braves?
Especially
baseball.
And I just
don't think it's that many people.
Because baseball is an old person's game. And if you eliminate all the old people, making them start going to Hulu and all that, I mean, you're out of business.
Well, see, the old people cable is good to go because that costs so much more money, right? Like when I lived at an apartment before I moved and bought my house last year, I paid $250 a month in cable and internet. Now I had all the movie channels and everything. I mean, like I paid a lot. I was paying $250 a month. Then I moved to my house and I couldn't get UVerse where I lived. So I got YouTube TV. I actually was at like a Preds game with Ryan, and we were in a suite, and I was talking to Ryan about this, and everybody in the suite was like, you got to get YouTube TV. And I did, and it was great because my cable bill went from $250 a month to like $85 a month. And that was great. But the truth is that, you know, if you want the old-time people will watch cable, which has these things, and I don't think it's going to lose them because they can't afford to do it. But it is... if you're baseball, don't you need young people to be able to watch your games?
Yeah, because they're not, you know, they're not watching the way they need to be watching. I mean, that's for them to stay healthy.
And so I will switch to a provider that has Fox Sports Tennessee, but this is it. After this, if they lose them, if they're off Sling, YouTube, and Hulu Live, I'm not getting cable into my house. I'm not paying the money. Just not worth it to me. So I'll listen on the radio, and that's how I'll have to do it. Which, by the way, we encourage everybody to listen to every Preds game right here on ESPN 102.5.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Right back to your texts and calls on Brady next. Plus, Mike Vrabel was asked about Brady, and he then turned it on the reporter. We'll talk about that next. Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.